Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we've got our special guest, Simon Galloway.
Hello, everyone.
Simon, do you want to introduce yourself?
No, I'm mostly working with Trinity Diploma in TESOL and Certificate in TESOL at the moment.
But you've done a bunch of other stuff before that, right? You were teaching in Japan.
Yes, I taught in Japan. I taught in China for several years, and I was a director of studies and
production. Regional manager as
Regional manager for a while, yes.
So I remember years ago, Simon, watching you do a workshop for managers about how to do performance reviews. And one of the things you spoke about was cognitive biases, right?
Yes. That was focused on performance management, yeah. And all the things that kind of managers tend to overlook when they're gauging the performance of their teachers. They might think they're giving a completely objective viewpoint, but actually these cognitive biases kind of affect the way that they think.
But they don't just screw up managers' thinking. They
screws up everybody's thinking, yeah. Yes.
And screws up yours so much you bought a book about cognitive bias for the train journey on the way to Beijing.
I did. It was quite good. It's The Art of Thinking Clearly by Rolf Dobelli. It's an international bestseller, so I guess many of the people listening have also read this.
For those people that haven't heard of cognitive biases before or don't have Rolf Dobelli's book, what's a cognitive bias?
Well, this is something that affects the way that we think and prevents us from thinking clearly, but we're probably not aware of it. Like, as soon as we become aware of it, we kind of gain a power over, or a power to stop it. So it's usually something that we're not so aware of.
Awesome. So I guess over the next, whatever it is, 13 and a half minutes, we're going to try and give everyone a bit more power over their own thinking by talking about three things. So first of all, cognitive biases for teachers,
cognitive biases for trainers,
and cognitive biases for managers.
So in terms of why cognitive biases are really incredibly important, here's a little quote from one of my favorite podcasts, which is Joe Rogan, and he's interviewing on this Neil deGrasse Tyson. And they're talking about cognitive biases.
This should be a course called Cognitive Bias 101. Not, forget college. Every high school should have a course, Cognitive Bias. And the entire course should be about all the ways we fool ourselves.
Yes.
If we are going to emerge as adults, no longer susceptible to charlotans.
Yeah, well, we're thinking forward about just giving people facts, yeah, instead of teaching them how
we're
to
thinking
manage
that
your
head
mind.
Is this vessel into which you pour information. And nowhere and at no time are we trained how to turn a fact into knowledge, knowledge into wisdom, and wisdom into insight.
I think an example of a cognitive bias, confirmation bias. So confirmation bias is when, like, we have our assumptions about something.
Sure, yeah.
And we kind of ignore evidence to the contrary and only listen to evidence that supports what we already think, right?
Yes. So you see this a lot with, or I see this a lot with teachers reflecting on their lessons. And you ask them at the end, well, how do you feel about your lesson? And they'll say, well, yeah, I feel really good about it. And yeah, I saw this and this and this and this. And then as an observer, I'm like, I didn't see any of that. And yeah, then I try to second guess myself then. I'm like, well, maybe I've missed something. But I think really a lot of this is that the teacher knows what they're looking for.
And ignores what they didn't say.
Exactly. So I think that's the key about a confirmation bias, is that they only look for evidence that confirms their viewpoint, and they don't look for any of the conflicting evidence.
You know, they call hot or cold cognition or something, because the cold one, I think the hot one is definitely influenced by the people's emotion or motivation, and the cold one doesn't have much emotion involved in it.
So I wonder if this then affects you also in that same situation that Simon just mentioned, where just after a lesson it's more like hot cognition, so you still feel emotionally attached to the lesson, but maybe days or weeks afterwards you feel less like that.
So somebody's TP journal should be more objective, right?
Another one I'd read about before, I think it's called fundamental attribution error, or fundamental attribution bias. And so this is where you kind of, if you make a mistake or you do something bad, you say, oh, it was because of the situation. But if you see other people doing the same thing, you put it down to their personality. So the classic example is you're driving down the road and you're speeding because you're late for work, and you go, well, I'm only speeding because I'm late for work. And then you see someone else speeding past you the next day and you think, oh, that person is such a reckless driver, and you ignore the fact that maybe the reason that they're speeding thinking is because they might also be late for work. I thought this was kind of applicable for teachers because maybe you teach a class and it goes really well and you think, oh, I taught such an awesome class. That was fantastic. Like, I'm such a legend. But then you have the opposite experience doing a class and it was just utterly awful. And you go, well, why? Well, the students, they weren't motivated. The students weren't interested in the topic. The students were at the wrong level. And you kind of make all these excuses about why it didn't go well based on the other people rather than based on yourself.
So I think, yeah, it's, you've got to look at it more objectively. You've got to realize that the environment has a much bigger effect than you might immediately think, right?
Yeah.
But how can people realize that they are experienced in cognitive bias, and how can they prevent, you know, to have the bias?
I think a part of it's just knowing that they exist, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's just knowing that these are ways that we think is kind of like a big first step to fixing them.
We want to talk about the trainers. So what are some of the biases that you think we can fall prey to?
I was thinking here about trainers observing lessons, and I thought of a few things here. The first one is kind of like regression to the mean and anchoring. So two different biases here, if we're actually formally assessing candidates or teachers. So with regression to the mean, there's this sense of like you can watch a teacher, maybe they do a really bad lesson, think, right, okay, I'm going to give them a load of advice and give all these tips. And then in the next lesson, they do much better. And you think, wow, I'm an amazing trainer. I've just changed their whole outlook on teaching.
Yeah.
Really successful. And sometimes a teacher might do a really good lesson. You tell them, that was amazing. That was really awesome. And then the next lesson, they do much worse. And you think, huh, praising obviously didn't help this candidate. Obviously, if I give too much praise, the candidate gets complacent and they do worse. But in reality, perhaps in both of these cases, they're just regressing to the mean.
They're just going back towards the norm.
Because there's a kind of a standard lesson which might be like just a pass or that kind of thing. If the candidates are not amazingly proficient or else not amazingly bad, they're going to tend to regress there regardless of the trainer's feedback. And then of course, based on a kind of fundamental attribution bias, we tend to think, oh, we're the trainer, we're changing their lives, we're the big
changing point,
you know.
Yeah. I had this huge
massive impact on these teachers, when in reality there's so many other factors affecting the quality of the lesson.
It almost sounds like the overconfidence bias as well, right? Like my 5 minutes of feedback is completely
has changed their life
for the next week. And then anchoring is where, for example, you have a sort of an expectation of where the limits are on something and you don't want to move too far beyond that,
yes.
Right?
So sometimes, in my experience, I've had cases where the trainer before me has observed a teacher and told me, this teacher is amazing. See what you think about them. Or, oh my goodness, that teacher was awful. See what you think about them. And then when I go into watching them, got that in my mind, and I'm thinking, well, okay, and this teacher, I don't think they're that good, but... yeah, that was quite good. So I give them quite a high mark.
Right.
But I give them a higher mark than I would have otherwise.
Yeah.
Or I think, well, that teacher, it wasn't great. Yeah, okay, the last trainer was right, and I give them a lower mark. But actually...
are you really looking at it objectively?
Am I really looking at it objectively? Right. If I hadn't had that piece of information from the other trainer, I may have given them a different mark regardless.
I'd read about this with Donald Trump speaking about, for example, immigrants to America and saying, oh, we're going to deport all illegal immigrants. And that's the sort of anchor for the conversation.
The extreme end. So pushing it to the very extreme.
You're then sort of framing the conversation as that's how far I'm willing to go.
Yes, exactly. And in that way, Trump kind of changed the whole narrative of how things were talked about in America. And
yeah.
Probably Marine Le Pen did the same in France. And it's with Trump, somehow he actually managed to get into power. But say you've got like Marine Le Pen in France, even though she didn't get into power, she changed the narrative in France towards a more right-wing bias through anchoring.
I think there's something also related to the outcome bias, because another example, people probably got A for their TP lesson and they thought, oh, everything I did for this lesson worked perfectly, and they kept using the same thing for the next TPs, but actually it didn't work very well for another group of learners. So they didn't really realize or identify what worked and what didn't work, and just go in depth and reflect on what exactly, you know, students reacted to, like the materials and the teacher's behavior, and they just look at the outcome because I got an A.
There was another interesting example of, I think, cognitive bias in a book called Black Box Thinking that I read about, which was prisoners going up for parole, and the main thing which decided whether they got parole or not was whether it was the morning or the afternoon.
Yeah, right.
And if it was after the judges had just eaten lunch, then there was a high chance the prisoners would be allowed parole, and if it was in the morning when they didn't, then they wouldn't. And then, so this relates to trainers because...
Absolutely, and this is how we first got on to talking about this subject, right? So I did quite a lot of analysis on trainer observations on a teacher training course. After doing quite a thorough analysis, it was quite clear that the trainers gave much better marks in the morning than they did in the afternoon. And it seems that the trainers were not taking a lot of time to eat lunch. They were often missing lunch, or they were just having a coffee for lunch or this kind of thing. So the result was that the afternoon lessons were 5 or 10% lower marks than the morning sessions.
Yeah.
And to the point where significantly more afternoon sessions were actually failing than the morning sessions.
What I think is fascinating about this is obviously taking a class and passing or failing it on a teacher training course is much lower stakes than getting released from prison.
Yes.
In those examples from capital punishment or from parole, no one was aware that those things were going on until someone actually collected the data.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose the takeaway here is that looking at the plain numbers and seeing what story numbers can tell us as trainers. I remember years ago having a new teacher who I was training, and I think they came in late and they were dressed too casually and they didn't impress me in training. And I was talking to my boss about saying, oh, should I pass on this feedback to this person's manager? And they said, beware of the self-fulfilling prophecy, which is you pass that information on and the new manager hears that this teacher has turned up late and they wore their own clothes. Mm. And then they then start to look out for all those attributes in that person, and it very quickly turns into that person ends up getting fired, but maybe they didn't actually have to.
So there was a very interesting study done on this. Mm. They took a class of primary school students. They just took 5 students at complete random and said to the teacher, look, these students have been identified as very high potential. And they took another 5 at random and they said, these 5, they're going to have some, you're going to have some problems with these students, like, just find a way to deal with them. And then they came back a year later and they saw, like, the students that they had chosen at random as high performers actually had much higher results.
Yeah, I thought the takeaway from that was...
Belief in those students can really make the big difference. Yeah, right?
And presumably having higher expectations of the students was a sort of key there. Well, what about then? Tell us more about the performance management and some of those biases for managers. Like, how do those operate?
If you're rating teachers' performance as a manager, you can be prone to a lot of different biases. I was doing these kind of performance appraisals for teachers for a long time, and I realised that I was quite prone to all of these biases. So a lot of new managers and even experienced managers will make the same mistakes. And as I've said before, like, if when you realise that you're doing it, that's the first step towards changing it. But you might, on a rating of like 1 to 3 for a lot of areas, you might just think, well, all right, yeah, then they're not too terrible and they're not amazing at this, so I'll just give them a 2. And then you just give them like 2s.
Two out of three.
So say it's like a 1, a 2, and a 3. So like 1 is...
Below expectations.
2 meets expectations, and 3 is like exceeds expectations. Yeah. So then what the teacher gets is just a whole load of
2s.
Mm. And I've seen teachers also evaluate themselves this way. So it's like, can you self-evaluate? I had a teacher before. I gave them some time to fill out their self-evaluation and they took about 30 or 40 minutes altogether. And finally, when they gave it to me, it was a line of 2s the whole way down. So there's that one. And then there's the other ones where you can look at like a halo bias, where you've got a teacher that you think, well, this is my star teacher in my team. They're great. So you just give them a 3 for everything. So I had a centre director before who just did this for every single teacher that she liked in the school, she would just give them all 3s.
Wow.
And then there was a teacher that she didn't like, gave them all 1s.
Right.
So it's like the opposite of that. But saying that if somebody is good, then everything is good.
So we talked a lot there about things that can go wrong. What can people do to get around those problems to be less cognitively biased?
As I said before, I think like just by knowing what will happen, you can start to stop it.
Yeah.
With all learning, it starts by noticing and then you can kind of like turn it into action. So if you know what these biases are, you notice yourself doing them, you kind of stop yourself.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks, Simon, for coming to our podcast today.
My pleasure.
Bye. Right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at Tefl Training Institute.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.